While the kids are making their way out, let's spend some time in prayer together, shall we? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you this day and ask that you would be present here with us through the power of your Spirit. Would you open your word to us? Would you stir our hearts and quicken our minds to know you, to understand you, and to love and to serve you and one another? And I pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been spending the last few weeks talking about this grand idea, this person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the breath of God that goes forth and brings life, and also does a number of things like convicting us of our sin, instructing us in all truth, and giving gifts. And we talked a little bit about this idea of the gifts of the Holy Spirit last week. And if you recall, what I said was that the gifts are not just for a chosen few. They're for all who are in Christ's kingdom. And that the gifts are intended for the building up of the body. And that they are given by God to each of us. And Paul, in our New Testament reading today, says that there is a variety of gifts, but one Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, but one Lord. And just as each has been given a measure of the gift of the Spirit. In other words, he's reinforcing this idea that God has given to each of us, through his Holy Spirit, gifts. Now he says, everybody doesn't get the same gift. It's not like going to your friend's birthday party when you were seven and everybody gets a little party blower. Doesn't work the same. Not everybody gets the same gift, but there's a reason for that. Because if everybody got the same gift, then we wouldn't be whole body. So what I want to do this morning is I want to say a little bit about these gifts. I want to unpack this idea a little bit more and talk about them as gifts. I want to say a little bit about their supernatural nature, and then I want to talk a little bit about love. So first, the gifts of the Spirit. Paul says that to some are given to be apostles, to be teachers, to be pastors, to be preachers, to be healers and workers of miracles. He said to some are given the gifts of administration, of great faith, of serving, he says. These are, and the list goes on. This is not an exhaustive list, but he says this is something that God has given to his people. Not because necessarily they deserve it, but because it is a gift. And the thing about a gift is that you kind of have to use it, don't you? Let me give you just a little bit of an example, a metaphor, as I was thinking about this. When I was in high school, I knew a girl whose parents, when she turned 16, gave her a Suburban. I think the idea was they wanted her to be safe. But the thing you got to remember is that when it comes to tanks, the people inside are safe and the people outside of it are not. Well, one morning on her way to school, she managed to somehow roll the Suburban on a residential street. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know how you can possibly roll a Suburban doing 25. I don't think she was doing 25. But there you go. I had another friend in high school, a guy I knew, who his parents gave him a 76 Volkswagen Bug. It was a jalopy, let me tell you. Well, the first girl, the next week after she wrecked her Suburban, rolled in with a new Camaro and then totaled that a few months down the road. The guy who got this jalopy went out, got a job working at a local restaurant, fixed it up, kept it running, and loved it. But I think part of the miracle was that he was able to keep this thing running. But the point is that both were given gifts. One, you might say, had a really cool gift. One of them had, well, it was rusty, but it was still a gift. But what was the difference? One of them used it, took care of it, cultivated it. invested in it, if you will, and the other totaled it. And what I'm saying is that if God really does give gifts to us, the question is, what will you do with it? Will you take the time to cultivate, to learn, to discover, what is it that God's given me? Will I learn to use it? Discover just how much God will do through me? Or pretend it's not there? Second thing, these gifts that Paul is describing in chapter 12 of Corinthians, some of them are fairly what I would call safe. Nobody gets weirded out when they say, oh, I've got the gift of teaching. Right? But that's not all Paul says. He says there was some crazy stuff going on at this church in Corinth, wasn't there? People were getting healed. There were miracles happening. People were talking in weird languages, and people were interpreting what they were saying, and people were preaching and teaching. I mean, church must have been a wild experience at Corinth. I mean, they could have sold tickets to this thing. And Paul wrote his letter partly to help them understand what God was doing. And when you read chapter 12 of this letter to the Corinthians, you can't help but escape the fact that God was really, truly, deeply doing something very supernatural in the midst of these folks. Now, they didn't understand it all together, and that's fine. But what God gives to his people really is a supernatural gift. Now, let me try to bring this down a little bit. When I was younger, I was petrified of speaking in front of people. I really was. I mean, it was sad and pathetic to watch Ben Phillips give a presentation in school. And even when I got involved in youth ministry when I was in college, I knew it was something I had to do. Man, it was brutal. But what I discovered is that God really gave me a gift to preach and to teach. And he didn't give it to me so that, hey, Ben, I want to give you a gift so you can get up front and look good and feel good about yourself. But I want to give you a gift that you can use for my glory and for my people's benefit. And as time went on, I really said, you know, I'm finding I have a passion and desire to want to teach and to get up and to speak. I still wake up in cold sweats sometimes thinking about having to give sermons and to teach and that kind of thing. I'm still human. But what I'm saying is that this was not something that I had innately of myself. That what I'm able to do is something that God has given. And I want to ask you, what has God given you that is wonderful and supernatural? There's an old saying that says, God doesn't call the equipped. It says that he equips the called. And in our church, what is it that you have that God has given you to glorify him and to edify his people? And the dangerous thing is to say, well, I could never help lead worship. I could never serve on the vestry. I couldn't do that. And Paul says, you know, God working in us can do more than we can ever ask or imagine. Lastly, I want to say a little bit about love. Now, if you've been to a wedding, maybe you've been to a couple of weddings, there's a scripture reading from the New Testament that gets read very often. It's called sometimes the great chapter on love. Anyone here know what chapter of the New Testament I'm talking about? It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, we just read this morning 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Do you find it weird that Paul goes from this descriptive chapter on spiritual gifts, healing and miracles and teaching and preaching, administration, apostleship, evangelism, all that, to love? And then chapter 14, he comes back and talks more about spiritual gifts again. Now, how weird is it that Paul writes one of the most sweeping and gripping and beautiful and stirring passages on the topic of love in human existence, and it's not in the section of the letter on his thoughts on Greek romance? It's on spiritual gifts. Does that seem a little odd? What Paul says at the very last sentence that we read this morning, he says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Desire God to work in you and through you. He says, but I will show you a more excellent way. Did you catch that? What is the more excellent way? He then goes on to say, if I speak with the tongues of angels, but have not love, I am a clanging gong and a clashing cymbal and just making noise. If I have wisdom to discern great truth and to fathom the depths of mysteries, but have not love, it's for nothing. In other words, Paul is presenting to the church a description not of romantic love per se, but of the love that we are to have for one another. Which is kind of weird when you read those at a wedding, but maybe not so weird. And so God gives us gifts supernaturally. To what end? To love each other. So I've been giving some homework during this sermon series. Your homework, your mission, should you choose to accept it. Don't worry, it won't blow up on you. Is to read chapter 13 of Corinthians and to think about each other. Think about the person sitting behind you in your pew right now as you read that section. Think about the person sitting next to you, the person that you serve with on the vestry. Think about the person you serve with on the Social Issues Commission. Or in the prayer ministry. Because that is what your gifts are intended to cause you to do, is to love each other with an incredible, profound, supernatural gift. So the Lord, the giver of life, gives you and me gifts. Not to be wrecked, but to be delved into and invested in. And he gives us gifts that are indeed wonderful and supernatural. I believe in healing. If I didn't, we wouldn't have a prayer ministry, and if I didn't, my nephew wouldn't be alive. And all of this is to the fulfilling of what God said is what? That you love me and love one another. And you need his help, the power of his Spirit, to do it.